Welcome, 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 everyone, to Toons Up North, Nerdy Up North's cartoon show. I am your host, Jake, and I'm joined by my cartoon host, Paul, as usual. How you doing, sir?
Hello! Hello! I quite like being a cartoon. This could be if I was a toon, what kind of toon would you be? I'm gonna ponder that for the time being now.
Yeah. Would you have, like... Would you have toon force powers like Roger Rabbit, how he's like indestructible?
Yeah, I would love to go on like the whole Looney Tunes binge type thing. Or even the Tiny Toons. Like,
but would you be trying to kill Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck for being annoying?
That's the thing. I think I've got that part of us where I'm the grumpy old bastard of the group. So I think I would turn into like the Elmer Fudd or the Wile E. Coyote and say, I want everyone to stop having fun at my expense.
Yeah, Lee's just holding up a sign that says sucker like in front of your camera and stuff like that.
Oh, I think what would Chris be? Because like Chris would be the ultimate like,
I think they are Bugs and Daffy, do you not think? And Lee's Daffy because he has more like fiery rants and stuff like that.
And Chris is just like a mellow, like going with the flow. What was it? Is Chris a Snoopy? That's it. We're gonna call him Snoopy from now on.
Oh, okay. So he just wanders around in the background while everyone else is getting up to trouble.
Yes, just not causing, just looking around and like actually finds himself in the place. But yes,
I used to like Droopy as a kid. I think it was just because he was very silly.
Droopy. He
didn't used to do much, but It was like the other characters that did stuff around him and they couldn't get rid of him and stuff like that. He would just like they'd try and run away and like hammer the door shut, and then he'd be behind them being like, "Hello."
There was that cartoon that came out on Channel 4. It wasn't really a cartoon, but I think that it was like Simon's Cat or something like that. It was like the cat came back the very next day, and it's like showing this guy probably having a mental breakdown because he tried to get rid of this cat, and it was like coming back.
I think I vaguely remember that or something like it. But yeah, that's always a good trope, isn't it? The whole like hammering the door shut and the character hands you like a nail or something. And they're like, thanks, before they realize we're gonna have to hit some like classics at some point, like Tom and Jerry and stuff like that.
Marvin the Martian and stuff like that. But that's where toons are always are better, more superior to like say the films or TV shows, because you can suspend belief, things can happen that just wouldn't happen out of the ridiculous, and you can just have fun with it and say it's part of a cartoon. Like, why doesn't this make sense? It doesn't have to make sense. It just happens.
Yeah, the coyote can stand on the thin air until he realizes that he's not stood on the cliff.
Or Dick Dastardly can fly all these magic planes that shouldn't even be able to catch that bloody pigeon.
The aerodynamics don't check out on those things.
It's like the Wright brothers are going, "We're there, we designed this. This doesn't work this way." Yes. And Muttley being a dog flying a plane. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's against regulation, I'm sure. But we are here to talk about the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. Is it just called Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, it was Dungeons & Dragons back in the day. It was using the same logo. That's because
Has the exact logo, is interesting.
That's because when I was looking into the artwork and stuff, I went, it might have a different logo and stuff, but no, it's exactly the same to the board game and even the movie that came out with Chris Pine and stuff like that.
No, like it's a little bit, it's less like designed now. Mm-hmm. It's more like a red, ampersand or whatever, but it is sometimes a dragon. It's interesting they've had that good branding for all this time. I did see Gary Gygax's name in the credits as well, who was like the guy who wrote the book, so he must have been executive producing. So it was obviously some kind of passion project. Yeah. I do wonder what he felt about it, though, watching it back. When you put like your money in, and you're like...
interesting question I wanted to ask you as well, because this is my choice. This is like a cartoon of the 80s. Me growing up, this is like nostalgia dipped in everything. Like, this is something that a lot of people, when we post about in the Nerdy Up North group, were going, "Oh wow, that brings back great memories." How did you feel watching it, Jake? I don't know if you remembered it as a kid or
I do. Because this was kind of what I was saying last week, where When you were a kid, you didn't really know where stuff came from or what channel you were watching or like what the context was. Like, I didn't know the Ninja Turtles was like years old by the time I was watching the cartoon. They just assumed it was like brand new. But yeah, I definitely saw a lot of this as a kid. But I wasn't super into it, and it took me a while to get into fantasy, like as a genre. And I know this is very much like silly. But I think everything when I was a kid that I liked was sort of like a bit sci-fi, like Transformers and Ninja Turtles had like, super science and weird tech stuff.
Yeah, but there was no science in this one. Sorry, science be damned. To science be damned.
No, apart from a very realistic looking animatronic dragon at that fairground before they got sucked in, and they're like, give me a break, man. Like unimpressed kids, and there's just a realistic fire-breathing dragon right above
God, teenagers at the time didn't know what they were having, but yeah.
You know what? That might have been it, actually. I think, like, I know this isn't like the deepest cartoon that we've watched or anything, but I think as a kid, a lot of the characters annoyed me because they were sort of skewed a bit older. Like, there was like the annoying rich kid and stuff, which watching back now, he's hilarious. But probably when I was a kid watching this, I was probably like, he's lame, and like, and like Hank is too much of a goody-goody, and like the girls are rubbish, they don't do anything. But like watching now, I'm like, okay, I get what they were going for with this like team. It's like an interesting makeup of characters. I think I hated the barbarian kid as a kid. Uni's fine.
Especially the uni, the unicorn. I watched this back yesterday. I say it's probably 20-25 years since I've dipped my toe back into the cartoon of Dungeons and Dragons, I'll be honest with you.
Oh,
Now,
yeah.
my memory for this was that it was very like amazing, like the artwork was perfect, and as such as that was me thinking about it as a kid. Watching it back as an adult, I can tell nostalgia was deep in this, but yeah, this is one of them cartoons, I'll be honest with you. It probably could do with a remake, let's be honest. It hasn't
Yeah.
aged well, like look wise and flow wise. It's very much I would say if you're gonna put close to like cartoons of the time, like Care Bears and stuff like that, almost like similar in looks, maybe not like in tone,
Oh,
but
yeah.
as like graphically, it wasn't like say smashing the house down and making things look super realistic, and a lot of the frames and stuff, it was quite janky at times as well. But still, nostalgia was real. Like I say, it brought back quite fond memories. I thought there was certain aspects that did that thought was very clever and ahead of its time, because with most cartoons and TV shows on the first episode, they do like to get the backstory in and basically give you
Yeah.
like what happened before. This show didn't do that. They did it in the credits, so they give you
Yeah.
basically like say the like said this is what's happened, this is how they got there, and basically when the TV show start, the cartoon starts, they're in like say the like this mystical realm, and it's been like doesn't tell you how long they've been there or what they've been like
No.
finding around. It's just they've been there for a while. So I thought that was quite all right then. They're not missing much time, like where you're having to get know other characters a little bit. It's just like straight in there and saying you have to deal with it
Yeah,
basically.
they're very like tropey, like there's no character that you would be confused about, apart from maybe like the dungeon master and the bad guy are a little bit more complex, but the kids are like, you've got like the brash younger brother, you've got the nerd, the jock, and then you've got like the quiet girl, and I guess like the sporty girl is what they were going for, because they were like, you are the acrobat, weren't they, for the one with the one with the extendo pole, like Goku.
So I know, like I say, with you being a dungeon master yourself, like the high priestess he is, not saying that he's basically started any cults or, like I say, any
No, but I have a
Freemason houses yet.
I've ran some tabletop games in my time.
So were the characters more like say in keeping with the lore of Dungeons and Dragons from what you've experienced, or were they completely off the wall and different?
The Well, it's interesting because like the dungeon master as a man in the show, he very much takes the place of like a sort of a god, I guess you would say, you know, like a divine being, where you're not really sure if he's actually occupying the space and you're not sure how much like control he has over it. But yeah, one thing that struck me as weird was the ranger being the leader. I was like, no way, that would be like the fighter or the paladin or something that would normally be the leader of the party. Not the ranged guy. Although that bow is very cool. Because when you touched on the animation being a bit like spotty, and it's just like it's in that very much 80s style, that is because they were probably having to like shoot out these episodes from the animation studio like week after week after week. But what I did think was that all the characters have really strong designs. You know, like if you literally just take the outfits and the color schemes, everyone is like totally on point. The faces are nice as well, because sometimes you get some really bad faces in these shows. But it was more about the body movement. I think that I would say would look cheap. But I loved everyone's design. Like I love Hank, the main character, where he's got those little, you know, those little like studs all over his like outfit. Like I think
Almost
that's
Robin
really
Hood-esque
strong.
type in a little way as well.
Yeah. And like I say, there's the rich kid who just gets a shield. I probably did think that was lame when I was a kid. Like he doesn't even have a sword. Nobody's got a sword. I guess they couldn't have any sharp
know,
implements for the children.
because Eric was the Cavalier, I think he was called.
Yeah.
He reminded us so much of the kid from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as Edmund, who gets on
Yeah.
the it goes with the Snow Queen.
Yeah.
So like, he had that kind of feel where he's kind of wanted to be in charge, but he was just too much of a dick, or
Yeah, and
no
he's like,
common
oh
sense.
man, I wish I was back on the ski slopes and stuff like that. It's a great character though, but maybe not one I was interested in as a kid. But
No.
like looking back now, I'm like, this guy is hilarious. Like he just doesn't want to be there. And that definitely is something you see in D&D parties, you know, like some people will be like up for adventure, and then you get the more like suspicious people who are like, come on, really? Like the king sending us on a mission to like to go down this like horrible like hole in the ground? Like, come on. But yeah, the classes aren't what modern D&D people would recognize. Like I've never heard of an acrobat class like that. And like they said she was the thief, but she was really just the invisible person. Like she there's no way she was ever like stealing anything. She was way too polite, you can tell.
No problem. I love the look of Presto, the magician. Like, say, his
Oh
look was
yeah.
just like one of the more iconic ones for this thing. And
And I like how his magic works as well. It's a good idea for a kid's show where it's like he thinks he can do a spell, but he might just pull anything out of the hat. Like it leaves you a lot of room, like in the writer's room to be like, oh well, this can happen and then this can get our characters over here because his hat goes wrong and brings out a cow or
definitely
whatever.
brings like a lot of choices. And I thought, and I know you said you found him annoying, but I thought it was a quite an ingenious idea to give like Bobby the Barbarian, like being like, say, the young kid, the barbarian
That's funny,
role,
yeah.
because normally you would have went for like a brainless jock or something like
Yeah, it would have
no
been like the sports star.
yeah, that could have been the way how they worked for there. But no, they went for the like the impulsive bratty little
Yeah.
kid who just wanted to smash everything. But
Yeah, and he does often. He smashes the walls down a lot, it seems, in this show. Because I don't think there's any like direct violence.
no.
So it's a bit younger, because like at least in like Ninja Turtles, they were definitely like, you know, kicking and punching guys. Batman in the 90s was definitely punching people. But this was very much like hands off, like magical attacks only. The dragon's not really gonna be a danger. He might pick somebody up every now and then. But so yeah, did you watch like the first in production episode that was sort of on YouTube?
That's the one I watched. I watched episode one.
Pegged as episode one, which is like you say, just dumps you right in it. I do like how the Dungeon Master he's always disappearing. He just like walks behind a tree or something, and then they're like, "Hey, where is he?"
He's done it again. Why is he just giving us these little hints? But he like teases
they
you.
They just want help. They're just lost children.
And this guy just like says, "Oh, we'll just menace him around and stuff like that." And it's like, and leaves a little hint as well. And says, if you'll find Venger or something like that by his white hair. So,
oh yeah, what's he called? Venger. It's like Avenger.
Venger or something. That's the Venger.
Is it? Yeah, it's like Avenger missing the A.
Yeah,
which is a. That's why I think that's why I never would have remembered that character's name as a kid, because I'm like, that's too weird. Like that's not very like. What's the word for like marketable or? Because like they always say like toyetic, don't they? Like...
Yeah, I think if it's hard for a kid to see, it's never going to stick type thing. But as a bad guy, it was quite an iconic look. It was quite.
Do you know who voiced him as well in the original?
I'm not going to guess, but is it someone famous? I take it.
Yeah, it was only Optimus Prime.
Oh.
You could kind of tell as well when I was listening to it, but it was it's a much scarier version. But yeah, like his look like is sick. Like again with the color schemes, he's like got this kind of like pinkish purple thing, one horn coming out the side of his head, vampire teeth.
Yeah.
Like all white face, no nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, that is an iconic bad guy. Like he's got a perfect silhouette as well. He's got bat wings as well. Like it's like this guy should have been ripped off way more often, like in other things, like you know, like because like you said, it's kind of a dead show at this point. Nobody cares about it really. It's all on YouTube, and we'll get into it. But the fans had to commission the ending,
which is a brilliant thing for them to do.
Yeah.
And I know we'd had a talk as when we said we're doing. They didn't just commission one ending. They kind of did like a motion comic one point,
yes.
Then that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted the real thing, and they actually did the full episode, which was like was quite impressive to think that like there were certain shots that you thought was like looked amazing. There were certain shots where you're like, oh, but this is completely fan funded and fan made as well. So
yeah,
for people on the internet to go out and say right to go and do it was just absolutely stupendous. One little thing I wanted to say as well was with Venger's is his horse. That horse was just absolutely beautiful as well, like animated and look-wise.
What did he have? Like an evil horse?
It was like a black horse, but it also almost like looked like a shadow horse as well. But I think it was called. I'm just looking up now. It was actually brilliantly named Nightmare. Not in like nightmare, but Nightmare.
that is actually a D&D creature.
Right?
Funny enough. It's something to do with a corrupted unicorn. It's probably like a demonic sort of torture-y type of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like it might be a corrupted Pegasus, I should say. Yeah, that is officially a creature. I did notice there was a little nod to like lizard men and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like they were definitely pulling. I mean, we didn't watch enough episodes to see like all the references because friggin' Merlin was just there, which is like, as far as I know, he's not part of D&D lore, but he does end up in a lot of like wizard stories, doesn't he? Because he's public domain, and everyone knows him as like you know King Arthur's.
One thing I did notice before we get into the episodes as well, because like I say, I was looking into the characters and the characters' names, and I kind of got it now when we watched like Requiem, the final episode. That was the name of the script. All the kids had names except for one.
Okay.
Presto.
Which one?
That was all he was called, Presto the Magician. He wasn't actually, didn't have a name. All the kids, like Bobby was called the Bobby Iron, Sheila was the Thief, Dinah was the Acrobat, Eric was the Cavalier, and Hank was the Ranger. Yeah. And Presto was just Presto the Magician.
Whoa, I'd never even thought about that.
So they didn't, like,
poor bugger.
So they must have thought, like, all the way through the seasons, like, if because
he's different sort of thing,
and like I know when we get into the final episode originally the idea, because like saying I've done the backstory and looked into this, they wanted four seasons. Fourth season was going to be completely different. It wasn't going to be in the fantasy. It was going to show you like how the kids and everything reacted to life after this. So the and
would have been like the Breakfast Club.
pretty much. But the, like I say, the Reclam episode was supposed to be going to be like a soft reboot for it. So that's when like they go home. And then it was going to be like a different tone, but that was the idea. But it got cancelled before we got to there, if that makes
sense. I know, that does make sense now, like in hindsight, like having watched it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the kind of like forward-thinking concept that so often does get shut down by like, you mm-hmm. know, money constraints and stuff like that. Oh. But you have to feel bad for some of these like mm-hmm. 80s and 90s show like runners who just got their idea took out from underneath them and never got to finish it.
Well, it was the bad press for, and that sounds weird, like a cartoon getting bad press, but this was the time when Satanic Panic was all kicking off and people were writing in like news stories about kids killing themselves and they were blaming it on the game. And then this
and, like,
came out.
Aussie and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so this, like, especially in America, was going like nuts. So, like, the urge or the, like, say, the demand for D&D stuff was kind of like then on the back burner. So that's probably one of the reasons why we didn't get more of this or along the lines. But I'm surprised we got three seasons, especially with like the chaos and everything that it caused over there as well.
Yeah, which is like so odd because it's a very wholesome show.
Very much so. Like, very much
there's
so.
There's nothing in it that you could point to and be like, this is like. The only thing is the Acrobat Girl's outfit is a bit skimpy.
Very much so, yes.
But yeah, you know, when I said Breakfast Club before, now I'm just kind of like assigning characters to them, but they're not as crazy as the Breakfast Club. But the thing is, if they went back to school, like, they would be very confused.
Definitely.
And they kind of touch on it at the end, like, has time passed, or like are our parents looking for us, or are we just going to come out the other side of the ride? I think that's what I imagine would happen.
Yeah,
like, do you want to quickly get into it? Just we'll just do a brief overview on the first episode, because it's kind of like, I think a lot of these episodes were kind of throwaway, because from what I remember, they would always almost get home,
mm-hmm.
and then something would drag them back, or, you know, like, oh no, Presto's trapped under a rock, we can't leave him. Oh, the portal's closed.
Yeah.
This one didn't technically have a moment like that, but it did kind of set up some stuff about Presto's character, which I thought was interesting.
No, definitely.
It's like, so yeah, this one was like they went to meet Merlin. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if there was a reason they went to Merlin exactly. But there was like a local folk legend, wasn't there, about him defeating the dragons and stuff like that?
Yeah, so he cast the spell that got rid of all the dragons that used to terrorize this small town or village.
Good spell.
And posted, he had a magic book that could get them home, because like that was the Dungeon Master's little tricks. Okay. He used to hint and give them teases how to get home. But he was like, I'm going to teach them lessons along the way, because he's a little twat. Let's be honest.
And after watching the Requiem episode, we've got some extra context on the Dungeon Master, which makes this even more complex.
Yes.
But yeah, like, he also, like, I think you mentioned before, he drops a weird hint where he's like, you'll know it's Benjer if you buy his white hair.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, so it's like white hair, he wears a hood.
Yeah. But what it turns out is, like, when Merlin shows up, he's got some white hair. And then they're like, hey, he's got white hair. And he's like, oh, no, I don't. I was just trying to grow it back. And it's, like, attached to his hat. It's really weird. He's got gray hair underneath. I think they were trying really hard to make this kind of, like, riddle slash pun, like, work. And it comes off a bit clumsy.
Yes.
Which, again, if you ever put, like, a Sphinx's riddle in your D&D game, it can get a bit clumsy if no one can figure it out. And you're like, how do I give the players hints to solve this puzzle? They're all just like standing around saying, trying wrong things over and over again.
But it was, because with the riddle as well, it was like, oh, look, Merlin's got a white rabbit. And he's like, it's not a rabbit, it's a hare.
He said it way too early, didn't he? His little semantics about like different animal taxonomy or whatever. He's just like, this is no way you could think this is a rabbit, stupid children.
Well, as you said, if you're a kid watching this, you probably would have fell for the ruse quite quickly and like not really put two and two together. But it was quite similar. But with the episode is,
I wouldn't have noticed if I thought it was a bunny the whole time, but as
yeah,
soon as he said it's a hare, I think I would have put that together.
yeah.
Also, one thing that would shock D&D fans is that Tiamat just shows up, who's like the head of all the dragons, sort of thing, because it's got like all the different elemental dragons like grafted into one. It's one of like the highest level bosses ever, and it's just running around this castle apparently, chasing after these like kids who don't know what they're doing half the time. But
No.
they do manage to trap it in the dungeon with a cool flip onto the chandelier, which was animated quite nicely, I know.
But yeah, but as I said, foreshadowing for what's to come as well. It kind of Merlin takes a fancy to our good young Presto and sees his premise and promise, sorry.
Yes. He's like, what I did love about him as well, like, because obviously it's like, a 20-minute cartoon, so they've got to speed through this dialogue and the story. Like, what did he do? Did he make like a rug appear that the dragon fell through? And he's just like, "You've quite impressed me, Presto. I would like to take you on as my apprentice." Like after knowing him for 10 minutes.
It's like you've got a kind face.
We will have to deal with the dragon in my dungeon basement. Don't ask questions about the dungeon basement.
Yes, but then I do, because I know we're going to be jumping all over this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I did like how he tricked Presto as well. He's like, because
Yes.
Presto finds the book and said, it's like, I'll stay behind, guys. You go and do what you's going to do. And he's get reading for the book. He's like, yes, I found the spell to get us home. So he reads the spell, does all the magic, all the potions. So it's like, oh, this is brilliant. But what comes
Oh,
out
yep.
of
He's doing his whole like, "I have newt, ew," like that kind
And what comes out of the potion? All them fucking dragons again. Like all the
Yeah.
dragons that's been banished are now back. And
And I thought that animation was pretty cool as well. You get these like half melted dragons kind of like coming out the cauldron and then like flying off.
it was very Flight of the Dragons, like looks wise. I don't know if anyone remembers that cartoon, or it might be me too, and old.
Oh.
There was an old cartoon film called The Flight of the Dragons.
Yeah, maybe they did to take some inspiration. Like, because like I suppose back then you would have had to have been like, what can we watch to show us how to animate a flying dragon if we haven't done it before?
What does it
Yeah. Yeah, like so that's Venger's trick. He
look
says something like he needed good magic to do it, so like
Yeah.
his dark magic,
Oh, that was
if
it.
he's
It was like only a good spell, a good magician could do the spell to break the bad mag, like break, because bad magic wouldn't release it.
Yeah,
But
I
it's
guess.
quite funny how we find out about how Venger like was there, because like all the kids are just chilling out in the village with all the villagers, and they're going,
Oh,
"Oh,
yeah,
hey,
there's like cool gnome guys having a party, isn't there? Like,
like,
hey, it's the anniversary of the dragon times. Yeah.
and they're going, "Oh, yeah, we've just met Merlin." They're like, "How did you do that? Merlin's been dead for 1,000 years," and they're like, "Oh,
Yeah. Hank's always like, "I knew it." He's always right about everything.
God damn it, Hank! You good, goody two, goody two shoes, twat.
He is like.
Then the like say the go off and have one of the more interesting fights with Venger, because Venger's got Presto's hat,
Oh, yeah.
and he's like, "Give me all your weapons," because he's always after. That's the idea now, because Venger wants all the different like say weapons that each of them's got. So just to
Yes.
quickly run through, Hank's got the bow. Eric's got the shield. Presto's got the magician's hat. Dinah's got the cane or the stick. Sheila's got the hood that turns her invisible. And Bobby's got a big block of wood, which is basically
Yeah.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan style. But
Which is apparently magic in
yeah.
some way. I
So
guess it gives him like earthquake powers.
And to try and stop him from coming over the room, Bobby comes up with a great idea to smash. And he smashes the wall and all the books fall on him, like a pile of books. And like, that's not going to hold him for too long, guys.
Which they're right about.
Yeah.
Then they get the bright idea to let the dragon out. And they just backs him into a corner and he's just like, damn you, shooting his like his beams. And then he has like a little secret doorway. So like the writers were clearly just like, and he leaves through a secret passageway trouble.
So clearly he rolled an 8 if he had the dice and he got out the secret passageway.
Or he's just like, he just had this all set up. He's like, I'm going to need some secret passages. Unless Merlin had all this stuff installed.
Possibly.
It begs a lot of questions, this whole impersonating Merlin in a castle in the sky. But then... Also, like, this show, you know, you were saying before, like, cartoons fudge a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not take it too seriously. This show does actually put some thought into, like, how its characters get around the world and stuff. Because, like, they have to stop and get horses, which is a very D&D travel a long distance. You're going to need, like, a carriage or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got this, like, they've hooked, like, a ladder onto the castle that they can climb up, like a magic ladder or something. And it's, like, they pay attention to be, like, oh, yes, the characters are going to climb back up that same ladder you saw them go down. So there was definitely some care going into it. Also, I do have to shout out that the sound effects are amazing, like for all the magic blasts and stuff. Definitely the same one that Optimus Prime's gun would make. I think that sound shows up a lot of the time. That kind of like really big, like...
there was no one screaming roll out, though. That was the thing.
No. But I can't remember how they...
I think exactly. It's one of those things when they have the final battle, it is quite meh. It's never like, oh, wow, this is amazing type situation. But they get out of trouble. I think Presto kind of casts the right spell this time. And instead of going home, the dragons go back away. And basically, they climb down off the ladder. Then
he's like, oh, man, but I lost my magic hand.
Yeah.
Then the Dungeon Master's like, forgetting something?
And he's like, why didn't you just give us this at the start, Dungeon Master? God damn it, you little crafty little bastard.
But yeah, like, magical items are definitely a thing in D&D. I don't know what Venger's trying to put together. Is he thinking if he equips all of them at the same time, he'll be unbeatable, you know what I mean? Because he'll have, like, the Cloak of Invisibility and the magic bow and the hat. And
But, yeah, Venger's, like, a complex character in this. Because I think if you just watch the cartoon, you don't really get the whole Venger thing. You just think, he's looking to be all-powerful and stuff like that. But after 3 seasons, we get to, like, say, the episode that is called Requiem, which... started out as just was originally written for the ending of Dungeons and Dragons. The creator guy came out and said that, and because the fans always clamored, like there was like so many before this was before the internet as well. People wanted to know, do these kids get home?
Oh, absolutely! Because like that was the hook in every episode. Almost was like, okay, how are they going to try and get home? So when you were a kid, you were assuming. Mm-hmm. One day you would see an episode where they got home, and then you could go into the schoolyard the next day and be like, I've seen the end of Dungeons and Dragons.
I saw them get home, they finished that ride.
I bet there was some kid who lied about seeing the final episode and made up this like grand story to tell.
I bet it was Goodwill, it was you. I know it was you, Michael. You told that little lie. But yeah.
So you also knew the Lara Croft cheat as well.
I tried the Lara Croft cheat too many times for my almost broke the controller one time. I will get you to take that top off and see your pointy boobs, goddammit. In full pixelation. But yeah.
We had no internet, everyone. There wasn't much else to do.
Yeah, so we always had a bush porn, but that was all. That was, again, that's going back further than you ever want to know. But yes, so... I just love the story about like how this came about and like people clamoring to want this and like after reading it and as technology grows, people realizing, well, if we put something together, like say this could give people closure and stuff. And as you said, you got the walking, like almost like the walking comic book, the motion comic book first, which was which was a good, like I think it was quite nicely done, but it didn't have the same feel. So it felt fan made and it kind of
it was interesting because it was someone literally reading the script out, including all of the like sort of I don't know what to call it, but maybe like stage direction kind of type things where it was just like, you know, Avenger appears in a flash of black smoke in front of the dungeon master. You know, like it had all the stuff in between. Maybe like how it would be written in a storybook also kind of had that vibe. But that was it was good for me to watch that first. And then to watch the animated one afterwards, because I think that it makes more sense if you know some of the sort of like backstory elements, because they didn't commission much new animation. I think what they did was used parts of the show that they could cut out, sort of like how there would be like Adult Swim shows like Space Ghost and stuff like that. So they'd like put together, which must have took a lot of work to find like to find animation parts that would work in this in the proper like compositions and everything. But yeah, as Paul was saying earlier, the old show didn't look too great anyway, so this updated version kind of looks on par, like for the most part.
There is some sketchy moments, I'll give it a stew, but I'm not going to judge it for like the love and everything that put in. But yeah, there's bits in that I was like, oh damn. But yeah.
I think taking it into context, like it was probably like three to 5 years ago when that was made. Stuff's come a long way since even then, as far as internet and like collaboration goes. They definitely did a good job with it. But so yeah, what I did notice immediately was the storytelling's a lot different. It's a bit more of like a modern storytelling of a show.
Very dark, very quite bleak as well. It was like
it has a setup which I don't think you would ever see in the old show, where like the Dungeon Master and Venger are talking to each other at the start without the kids present. I don't think that would have happened in the cartoon show at the time.
I know we don't really like talking about religion and stuff, but it was a very like a religious element to that aspect. It was like, oh, I'm God and you're the devil. Let's do a test and see who, like, if we take like a hands-off approach and give the kids a choice, see what choices they would make type thing. It was kind of like, oof, that's a bit on the head, nail on the head for a little bit.
Yeah, because it feels a lot like they're both toying with the children. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all a game to them, which is odd. But like I was saying, like, I guess you didn't really know what the Dungeon Master's intentions were until you get some of this context that comes along a bit later. But yeah, so this is also, we get like a splinter in the group, don't we, kind of immediately. Like, everyone's kind of, as soon as the Dungeon Master says like, I can't help you, you got yourself into this, you have to get yourself out, it basically fractures the group into mainly between Eric and Hank button heads for leadership,
because Hank starts acting like a little bit out of character and starts being overly aggressive towards like the group as well. And he's like
heavy-handed.
And like, I think one of the lines he uses is like, I'm not mad at you, I'm just mad at the Dungeon Master for putting us in this situation. It's kind of like, all right then.
Yeah.
It's like, but don't take it out on the people that's like supporting you and help. But yeah, then as you said, the splinter, because the kind of like it sets everyone apart from each other as well. Because you've got Presto is just trying to keep everyone happy, and then you've got Bobby and his sister having like that sibling rivalry as well. And it's kind of like at loggerheads, but like, I know, like I said, there's a lot going on this episode, but one of the defining moments, and again, I was quite shocked when I saw it again, and when I first saw it, is when it's almost like a race to get to, like, say, because Venger said, he comes to them and says, not everything's good and everything's black and white, not everything's good as evil. There's a lot of grey. If you do this for me, we'll get you out of, I'll help you leave the park. I'll leave the, get back to reality.
And he shows them in the fire, doesn't he? He shows them like the theme park in the flame. Yeah, that's why I was saying the storytelling's very different, because I feel like it's way too much of an adult, or like, you know, like a sort of young teen show line, where he's like, it was convenient for you to think I was the bad guy type of thing, where it's like, yeah, I guess the guy with the one devil horn and bat wings, it is convenient to just assume.
And he has been shooting laser beams at them for 3 seasons as well, so like dude, get off your high horse a little bit. It's not convenient. You've acted a bit like villainous in along the way as well. But the scene that that did shock me was the when the like say as I said the race towards like the castle or the mountain or like the villainous
racer. Yeah, yeah. One on a magic ship and the other one's on a dragon.
Yeah, and they're kind of like, no, you slow down and stuff like that. And he's like, don't make me do this. And he's like, Eric fires the bow at him. Eric like does the normal thing and uses his shield to protect himself. And it kind of hits his blast into the volcano. That salt sets the volcano off. That basically burns the boat into the lava. And you know it's a cartoon, so there's always going to be a way out. But you see it, it's like, shit, they've just killed off these characters. And then you've got like Eric, Diana, and Bobby like on land, and they're going, they didn't make it. They didn't make it. And like Bobby's crying because he's lost his sister. And then Eric's like, oh, well, let's go to the castle and finish this now. Yeah. I was like,
isn't Hank like, they've got out of worse scripts than this before? And you're like, what, what are you basing that on?
You saw them on fire. and
we're talking like the weeniest characters. I mean, maybe the guy with the shield, like the special shield, would be okay in the volcano, but like the magician and the barbarian and the unicorn, like they're not very durable for lava.
But
it does turn out to be all okay very quickly. Because like I say, they move through the story in that kind of Saturday morning fashion.
But this was
don't think too much about things.
This was a longer episode as well, because this was a
little bit
50 minutes,
half an hour.
I think I'll have a look.
I think it was 30, because I think I watched it on dinner. But yeah.
I'll have a look. But yes, like say when they get back on the land and you see that they've got the kind of the same impression. But I'll give Eric his due. Eric's actually saying it's my fault. I shouldn't have fired it off into the thing. It's like, and they're like, dude, you saved us. Like, what do you want? He's like, I know, but surely there was another way I could have done it. And he was like, 35 minutes. Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
No, you're right. So they're kind of like, they're still kind of at each other at this moment. It's mainly just Eric and Hank, I suppose. Yeah. Everyone else seems to kind of just stay out of it for the most part. But yeah, it's like, it's very much a race against like, okay, if Eric gets the key, because they say about this key thing that's going to unlock something, but then Wenger's like, oh no, throw the key into the abyss, because I guess that's what he doesn't want them to open the door. So it's this very much thing where like Eric's gonna do what the bad guy says so he can go home, and Hank's trying to be like, well, we should get the key but maybe not do what the bad guy says, like, I guess like Hank, he doesn't have a plan, or he doesn't know much about this like tower thing that they go to. But yeah, as soon as they get in the tower, they get attacked by a gelatinous squid.
Yeah, that was weird. that was like well done, but like it was actually scary compared to like what you
need.
Think.
Yeah, you need a generic enemy that they can sort of fight that's not violent, but it was a pretty scary enemy that kind of like took them all out immediately. Like, you know, like it. Because they were like, oh, she used her invisibility, but this thing must use a sense that is not sight, and it just like grabbed her anyway. again, it's solved by whacking the club against something.
Yeah, whacking things fall down on top of it. But when they get into the tower, they notice would you say it's like a coffin, or is it just like a lying down statue where?
Yeah, I'd say it is like a sarcophagus type of thing. Yeah.
And it's kind of like Sean Wenger in his like past form, which we later realize he's the son of the dungeon master who just chose the wrong path, as he put it, which was quite an interesting take. But then,
so this is the part where the fan animation was like a little bit lacking, because like yes, they had some of the assets sort of in the backgrounds and stuff, but they hadn't really, like, it wasn't treated with the sort of, like, if this was in the real show, that it would be like a proper like focus on the coffin and showing you, because they were like, it's Venger, and it was like, like, it doesn't look like that to me. But then when they did like a close-up, it was like a sort of more human looking face. So like, I feel like if it was done properly, they would probably, like, that would be a main sort of scene with some nice like artwork and stuff like that. But if you just use your imagination, you can kind of, it's like D&D, theater of the mind.
The goal, I said, even with the ending, they go a little bit bleak as well, because Hank falls out the window and goes into the abyss. And you think, shit.
I forgot to mention that when he smacks the club and, you know, shakes everyone out of the tentacles, Hank just falls right out into space. It is literally an abyss. And obviously this is Eric's moment of like, what have I done? Because they were just like having a bit of a back and forth about the key, that's why he was like over there, because Eric was like, you know, I'm gonna throw it in, and Hank's like, hang on a sec, don't listen to the demon guy.
The guy that's been shooting laser beams at us for a few years. Let's not take the word.
It's written well, though, because there's a time crunch, because this squid monster is not defeated and comes back. So, like, I like that where the characters don't have time to like calmly talk about this, because they're like literally being attacked. Then Venger shows up and he also starts shooting beams at everyone again.
The goddamn beam guy, but
thankfully Eric has that shield, which seems to be able to deflect anything.
And again, he makes the right choice in the end, and he opens the sarcophagus or coffin or...
Well, he opens a door next to it in the animated one, but I think in the motion comic, the keyhole is on the sarcophagus.
Right.
It's like, that part was a bit confusing. Like, what are they opening and how do they know to open it? Like, you know?
I think they'll probably change it for the animation to a door, because it's less foreboding, or like, let's chat. Like, it's more easy for kids to think than say, oh, look, he's opening a coffin, kids. Let's see what's inside here.
Yeah. But so then what comes out of that is like a Indiana Jones like beam of light.
Yes.
It does some interesting things, though. Number one, vaporizes Venger immediately as he's like trapped in the tentacles. But then it starts opening portals, and you get to see that there's other beings that are trapped here.
Yeah.
Like, it opens up a portal to what you assume is like English countryside, and some farmer guys kind of run into it. And then it opens up like a jungly, like prehistoric looking one, and then the lizard men, like, they run into it, and it's like, is everyone in D&D trapped? Is that their explanation for like all the different like creatures that sort of have to live together and fight each other?
I think that's where I think the soft reboot was going to come from as well, because it's like kind of like an eye into there's more other creatures or beings that are here as well. And as you said, when you play Dungeons and Dragons, there's so many realms and possibilities as well. So that's always...
And also, a lot of people have... a lot of people take great issue with the fact that there's a lot of demons and humans and, like, you know, lizard people. And a lot of people to this day are like, I don't want to write a story that includes like frog people, elephant people, like, you know, werewolves, werepigs, were-rats. So it's kind of, this would be an easy way to explain the universe. Like, oh, it's all people pulled in from other dimensions. That's why they all have to live together. Like I say, I don't know how much that comes up in the show, but it's interesting to know that they were thinking about this stuff as they were
going
writing it.
A lot of different like ideas and stuff come from that. And I think, just a question to you now, with you being like I say the dungeon master as well, would you have been pissed?
My hairline.
would you have been pissed if they ended it like, say, if like when they went, oh, we'll set you go back. And it like they were all sitting in one person's basement, and they've got like like
Oh.
say the playing Dungeons and Dragons, the game type thing. And like, oh yeah, that was a great campaign. I can't wait for the next one.
I don't know, I might have, right now, you saying that, I think that sounds amazing. Because how cool of a start to your campaign is getting on like a haunted roller coaster that takes you to like medieval fantasy world. Like, that's a very cool concept to start off your sort of a tabletop game story. But I think as a kid I would have felt shortchanged by the whole it's a dream style storytelling.
It's like
'Cause I think even back then we knew that was bad and you shouldn't do it.
I think it would have been lazy, but again, if you want to do like multiple seasons or multiple different, like even if you like do three episodes and do a different story arc, that is a good way of doing it. It's almost like the Alone in the Dark thing where they sit in the campfire and they tell the story and say, oh, we'd like to
And
invite you into the Midnight Society type thing.
you don't know if it's like they're telling stories that they've heard happened or if they're just flat out making stuff up. But yeah, I think you're right. People would have been mad, and that tr if they wanted to do that kind of like anthology thing, they would have set that up at the start, like properly. I just want to quickly reference, because I don't think it's a cartoon we'd ever like watch for this show, because it's probably like really bad and probably only I remember it. But do you remember the Mighty Max toys? So that had a cartoon that was also kind of similar to this, where he's like his magical hat took him to a different dimension. I don't think the hat was magic. I think it was like magic got attached to his hat and it became a magical object. Same idea. There was a bad guy chasing him to try and get it back so he could do something with it. But that had an interesting ending, as far as I'm aware, unless I'm totally making this up from kid brain, where in the last episode he went through a portal and ended up at the start of the first episode. So it was as if like the show was a complete loop. So it technically had an ending, but that ending was the start of the actual cartoon again. Which I don't think anyone's ever done
All right.
after. Maybe there's a good reason for that.
Not.
But as a kid, I thought it was cool.
No, I like
Because
the idea. No. And as we said at the start, like say when we got they got the chance to go home, everyone went except from the kid who didn't get named, Presto.
Which that surprised me, because because there was even it even set it up for them to all stay, because the Dungeon Master was like, well, there's still lots of evil to sort out in this world. And then they were like, what about our parents? Won't they miss us? And the Dungeon Master's just like, I don't know. He doesn't say
It's
anything.
like parents, your parents are dead.
And
I killed them
he
all.
he doesn't say, yeah, I've erased your existence. He doesn't say anything about, because they ask like, haven't they been missing us? And he doesn't tell them whether or not time's passed. Like, are they just gonna show up like 8 weeks, like at the next carnival when that comes into town or whatever?
Because
I mean,
I was going to be
I would
interested in,
say,
yeah, because I was going to be interested to think if if all of them did go back, because they couldn't have left uni, they would have took uni back. Would uni have turned into a pet dog or something like that?
Yeah. So you're thinking of the everything's got a real world counterpart now.
Yeah.
It turns out they're all in a mental asylum together. Avenger is the orderly.
It's all of it's just an episode of a long episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like Frank and
He
his
was the
donkey
frog
brain.
kid. But yeah, I think if fans had wrote the show, that would have been the ending, because everything has to have a dark fan theory, doesn't it? But yeah, so I thought it was very interesting that Presto stays behind, because in my head I was like, but why? Like, are we to assume that his life was so bad in the human world? Because like, when these kids go back, they're gonna be like, what happened to blank, like whatever his name is, Presto. And like, this is getting more into like Stranger Things territory, really. Like, You know, when they all come back from the upside down and someone's dead, like, what? How do you explain that to the real world? But yeah, it's interesting. But it kind of links back to that first episode where he's like, well, you know, we forgot to mention Venger turns back to a human form, still in his outfit, but no, like, evil
No, he's no horns.
wings.
He's got hair now as well, so
Yeah. And that's when you learn he's the dungeon master's son who got in with a dark master who took advantage of him and turned him on the wrong path. Which I think in my head I'm like, well, that also opens up the options for them to be like the evil master has come back, you know, like next season. Because that is one thing the State of the Dungeon do, the like, oh, if you ever need us, just give us a call. And he's like, so it could have been like a Super Mario Brothers movie where it's like, hey guys, you won't believe what's happened. Like, you're gonna have to come back.
It's like, oh no, not again. But it's like
You wouldn't
Labyrinth.
believe me if I told you.
It's like the dungeon master comes back with one arm missing, saying, I need you, help me.
Yeah.
And it's like, the shit's gone round. But yeah. What have I done to. And I love that this turn around. Well, you've got yourself in this mess now, dungeon master. You're going to have to
Oh
get
God,
yourself out
yeah.
of it now.
But yeah, like you were right when you framed that as like a bit of a dark storyline. Like, was this whole thing a game, or was the dungeon master trying to like lead the children to do this? You know, like, was this his end goal to be like, I'm gonna reverse the spell on my son, but I'm gonna have to take weeks and weeks and weeks of like training these kids up before they're ready to like go into this castle? I kind of think he could have just told them, like, you know, please, will you help me save my son who is Venger now?
Or could it be like, because you know how spells are tricky and stuff like that. And again, this is me
Yeah.
just overthinking it. Could it be one of them things, the curse couldn't have been lifted if it was like someone knew that was the idea of lifting the curse. They had to do it
Yeah.
without the knowledge to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose they do talk about that, don't they? Like the good magic. So maybe the writers were thinking about, maybe they had like all these laws about their own magic.
Like the uncorrupted or something like that.
Yeah.
So
Which Eric seemed a bit corrupted, but he was very happy to go back to his rich boy lifestyle by the sounds of it.
God damn it. But yeah, it was an interesting take going down memory lane with this. And again, I know
Yeah.
I said this at the start. I do think if they were going to remake this could be something a bit special. If they, like, especially with
Yeah.
the modern techniques and
Yeah, like how they made those He-Man and She-Ra's on Netflix, where it looks close enough to what you remember like Saturday cartoons looking like, but it's actually like way better animation wise. Yeah, I think this right now, when D&D is like probably at the height of its popularity, like, yes, they should probably bring this back in some form.
Well, we did get a cameo. I don't know if you have you, have you seen, did you watch the D&G film with Chris Pratt?
No, there's a cameo from this in it.
Yeah, the characters that when the because they're like there's a labyrinth bit where they're like, in a
Yeah.
maze and they're trying to get to the prize, and there's different teams,
Yeah.
and there's the characters from D&G live action. They've got like
Yeah.
little Bobby the Barbarian, they've got Hank, Eric, all in the getup as well, but you just see
Oh
them running
no.
around and stuff. It's quite a good little callback.
Oh man. So then, but then that means they got trapped back in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, they're still there. They've never got out.
No, I need to watch that movie, but I was just I just haven't thought to sit down and watch it. But I might after this, now that I'm sort of back in the world and I need to see that reference. But yeah, you're right. This show definitely holds like a special place in people's hearts, because in our Facebook group, people did like light up when you mentioned this show. And the music was like that was nostalgic for me. Like, I remembered like the music and stuff, because it's very like, it's its own thing. And it's very much like an 80s orchestra playing it. So like they put work into this, getting this kind of nice sort of like fairy tale style track.
I think
But
it's just
yeah.
an unusual cartoon with like say an interesting premise that does have a lot of legs, and rather than like say rehashing, I know people say rehashing stuff, this just basically touched on a certain aspect, like Again, I know the trope of like, oh, are they going to get home this week? But
yeah,
we've just
you probably
spent,
wouldn't do that.
Yeah, we've just watched the first and last episode, and we've come up with like ways you can spin it or ways you can do it.
Yeah,
in the modern world. So imagine if someone actually who had talent and actually had the ability to do it. Just it again. I'll harp back. It's the idea I've got with Nick Cage being in every monster movie. We will make you money if you come up with our ideas. I'm just saying.
Nick Cage would be a good dungeon master, actually, because he could just show up for like 10, like your 5 seconds an episode. Like,
just say something, Nicholas. He wouldn't even do riddles. He would just talk like Nick Cage does, and your people go, "What the fuck did he just say?"
You know what? As well, I think if they did it now, they would probably play the dungeon master like proper like trickster style, where it's like he's sitting at the table, like eating the food or something, telling them about the thing, and then he's suddenly like up on the chandelier, you know, like warping around and stuff. But they would probably play with like the teleporting stuff a lot more.
We need Danny DeVito as the dungeon master. Going full Frank.
Just get his toe knife out while he's explaining the riddle.
I'm going to send the Only Sunny guys and say, well, look, you just need to do an episode of It's Always Sunny based on Dungeons and Dragons.
Where you get trapped in a fairground ride.
And then like Charlie and like Max like trapped in the fairground ride, and like Dee's like running around, and then like say some kind of like smoke or something, toxins taking over the brain. So that
it would be a gas leak, wouldn't it?
But yes. We're just giving away our ideas here. He's a lucky.
To be fair, a lot of our ideas are just cast the Always Sunny people as insert like nerd group, like the Fantastic Four or something. I'm telling you, they would have been perfect for the Fantastic Four, and they've missed the chance forever now not paying them.
Yes. So I think I'm leaving it there. If anyone hasn't seen it, like say the videos are on YouTube, especially like say the final episode, if you want that closure, it's nice to have the closure. It's like, I would love to know how you feel about the ending, and how like you see you feel like they finished off the show from your childhood. That would be an interesting take to anyone who watches it.
When I took a quick look over the comments on like that, the actual video, it seemed overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. There was even people being like, I'm 50 years old and I finally got closure on this show that I used to watch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was a satisfying ending, because you even got a little sort of post credits thing where they were like, it's Presto's like magic castle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he got his girl, which I vaguely remembered, but I didn't watch the episode where he must have a mini romance with a village girl. And then like Venger was like, don't leave the lady waiting, son.
He's like, he's 12. He shouldn't be thinking like that, but yes.
that means Venger was a player when he was when he was the white version.
The white knight.
his voice was a bit crap in the fan thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the situation was. The only thing is, like, fan projects have come on a long way, and there's been some like really professional ones. But I think it just depends how many fans of the actual show is. But yeah, I think like that was a very passable final episode, and I think they did get one of the voice actors back, didn't they? The Invisible Girl.
Yeah, I think that was the original voice. Yeah, so it was quite interesting.
You could tell she was the best out of the bunch. I don't think I've got anything else to say about that, other than it was more fun than I remembered. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't like it so much as a kid, but it was probably because it didn't have transforming robots.
or ooze and teenage turtles talking cowabunga and throwing pizza at each other.
Yeah.
There was no pizza in this show. That's what it needed, pizza.
No, you didn't see them eating anything. It must be hard for children to hunt and gather, even though I suppose they had magic weapons.
Yeah, but no money, no coin, but yes. But yeah, that was our little take on Dungeons & Dragons. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you do check out the show as well. And if you do remember it, hope it put a smile on your face as well.
Yeah, it's worth watching along with us for any of these shows, because a lot of this stuff is like, if we didn't watch them, it would just be like child memory. Mm. And I think we would have forgotten that this kind of looked a bit cheap at times. But like I say, sound design and actual visual design, like a lot of the backgrounds looked awesome as well, because they were like painted, like, you know, forest backgrounds and stuff. Yeah, no issue with the actual art direction, just a bit, which I think like probably 80% of the cartoons were like that back then. We just didn't notice because we were hopping about the sitting room missing frames of animation anyway.
Popped up on e-numbers from Smarties and shit, but yeah.
I tell you what, that magic bow is pretty cool. Like, you know, having infinite energy arrows and the noise it made was really cool.
Yeah, I've got Eric. I'm not going to get him out, but I've got Eric Presto and Bobby over there as well. Nice. With Uni. But Uni's over there as well.
And we thought Scrappy Doo was annoying.
Snarf.
Yeah, more annoying than Snarf, I would say. I felt sorry for Snarf. Oh, I would have been his mate.
Cringer, but yes. So what are we going for next week? So we're going for the Jake's pick. The Jake says. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not saying we have to do this every time, but I've been kind of liking the mental puzzle of, like, I would like to pick a show that has similar themes in some way. And for this one, I was stumped for a little while, and then I got like a flash of inspiration. So what I want to pick is Samurai Jack.
Oh.
Which is a Cartoon Network show. But my tenuous link is that it is a similar type of story where it is a man out of time trying to find his way back. And he gets in very similar situations where he's like, I've heard there's a magic power at the top of this tower. I'm going to have to try and see if this is a way back home. And he also has an evil guy following him around trying to wreck his plans.
Cool. So which episode are we doing?
So I picked a couple because I didn't want to pick like the first one because it's just an origin story and we can quickly go over that. I don't know if I've got the titles written down, but the first one is a very cool, almost silent episode that I thought would be really good to watch. Because it's all like art. Okay, that's Jack and the Three Blind Archers.
Seen that one? I remember that one.
So it's almost a silent episode, and I'd really love to rewatch that and make sure it's as cool as I thought it was when I was a kid. And then the second one is The Princess and the Bounty Hunters, which it barely has any Jack in it, but it's kind of like a Hateful Eight type of situation where there's all these bounty hunters together in a cabin, like waiting to ambush Jack. Like, that's a really cool concept and stuff, to watch some
Samurai
cool
Jack
animation.
Quite cool. We're going some lengths in this one. We've went from Justice League to Batman animated to Gargoyles, D&D, and now Samurai Jack. Where will we go next, guys? Who knows?
I don't know, but do not feel pressured that you have to find something related to link back to.
No, I want to go totally out there. Don't worry. I'll think of something.
This is is it Gedi Tarkovsky? Maybe it's something like that. But he's a very interesting like animator, and he did like Dexter's Lab and stuff. His art style is very like sharp and pointy. as always, we will try our best to make the available to the Nerdy Up North Discord, and we'll link to that in the Facebook group. And anywhere you can, just ask us, and we'll send you a Discord link so you can get in and start chatting with us. We'd like more people to watch along, but we understand not everyone has the time. Although some people found the time to watch Basket Case this week.
Jake's judging people, but yeah.
A movie that you can watch in a compilation of the stupidest moments, which is what I did like years and years and years ago.
Sam's going to be judging us here, but no. Thank you for everyone who's watching. Thank you for everyone who's liking. Again, if you are watching, please share, please comment, please have conversations with us. We are, like I said, I'm loving doing this. Like, me and Jake's having such a blast. we are trying to keep these episodes quite short as well. We don't want it to be like 3 hours long, 4 hours long. But
no, who would do that?
Getting all my bites and digs in there, but it's fine. But yes, we'll be back next Saturday at 10 a.m. Giving you your cartoon needs. Hopefully the football will be over so you can watch us more.
Yeah.
Sports. God damn it. But yes, so as the immortal Porky Pig said, that's all, folks. Or that's all, folks. Bye.
See ya.